Welcome to the Law Office of Kristen Lowe's podcast. My name's Joshua Clark. Our topic today is going to be bridging the gap between the world of therapy and the legal world in terms of divorce and ending relationships. As a family law firm, we deal a lot with the end of relationships. We thought it would be useful to talk to someone who deals with relationships that are in danger of ending, or relationships that may be heading for an end. With us today is May Safon from lastingaffection.com. May is a graduate of the Fuller Theological Seminary and Jessup University with 13 years of marriage and family counseling experience. May, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the sort of specialties of your practice are?
Well, I provide counseling for those who want premarital counseling, marital counseling, also those who experience trauma, things like sexual abuse, physical abuse, accidents, near-death experience, grief and loss. And I also provide workshops for marriage and family, parenting, you know, anger management, those kind of things.
May has an office in Oakland and one in Albany, California. Also with us today is Kristen Lowe of KristenLowLaw.com. Kristen, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your legal practice specializes in?
Sure. We specialize in all aspects of family law. So that's everything from divorce, legal separation, dissolution of domestic partnership, custody, visitation, support, and post-judgment issues.
Great. Kristen has an office in Fairfield, California, one in Hayward, and right here in beautiful San Ramon, California. May? So from looking through some of the information about you from your website, I saw some stuff that I think really seems to mesh with a lot of what we do. You've run some workshops on anger management, some workshops on domestic violence. Obviously, domestic violence is something that we deal with quite a bit. What advice do you give your clients in terms of managing their anger in very emotionally sort of heightened situations?
Well, I always tell clients that anger in itself is not a bad thing. That when you have anger, what your feelings is telling you is that there's something wrong. So when you are angry, you get into this fight or flight mode, like the survival mode. So what I tell clients to do, and I teach them to take deep breaths in through the nose and filling up the belly, and then holding it for 2 or 3 seconds, and then exhaling through the mouth and really allowing your body to relax. And that's an excellent way for people to, like in the emergency situation where they're just too escalated, to take 3 deep breaths like that. And being able to practice that at home and getting used to doing that will really help them to make it more natural and something that they do, like an instinct versus the fight or flight thing. So I teach people how to do that and to be aware of their body and what their body is telling them.
Okay. Now, Kristen, I know that this is something that you and we have had to sort of deal with clients from time to time. In terms of often clients get so angry that they have difficulty dealing with the immediate sense of what needs to happen, right? We need your financial documents. Well, my husband's a jerk. Yeah, he is, but we still need your financial documents. How have you sort of dealt with being able to de-escalate your clients?
Well, for me, what I've often done is try to refocus them on what their goal is or something that's going to naturally calm them down. So for example, anyone in a child custody dispute is required to go to child custody recommending counseling, which is also known as mediation. So oftentimes when I'm prepping clients for mediation, I will suggest something like, bring a picture of your children, put it in your lap. If you feel yourself getting angry, getting upset, forgetting about why you're here and why you're engaging in mediation, look down at the picture and remember you're doing this for your children.
Right, right. That makes perfect sense. Okay. I think, you know, once again, along with anger, one of the things that everyone in this room ends up dealing with is just when a relationship's ending or when a relationship has ended, emotions run so hot. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I know we had some interest in, and we talked to about this a little bit before, sort of the emotional process of a divorce, does it tend to follow sort of the classical stages of grief? How does it go in your experience? If someone who's just starting to enter a divorce, someone whose relationship mm-hmm. is ending, what can they expect? It's so scary. And I think half the fear comes from just not knowing mm-hmm. what is about to happen to you.
Yeah. So from my experience, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross has the stages of grieving someone's right. death. But what my experience is, definitely they start with denial, but then they begin to experience anger and depression. It can happen at the same time. Right. One day you might feel more anger and depression and you go back and forth on that. It's not like you go through one stage and it's clean and you go to the next. But finally, at the end, though, people do eventually come to acceptance. But the longest period I notice is people have a period of just denial. They can't believe it. And then when it finally sets in, then they just get really angry.
Well, which makes a lot of sense, honestly. I mean, think about if a relationship is not a good relationship, if it's a relationship that needs to end, you're going to have a lot of fights that don't result in a breakup before mm-hmm. you have the one that does.
Yes.
You know, and so when you think back over the course of your relationship, you think, oh God, we fought 20 times. We haven't broken up yet. It's going to be the same this time. But it doesn't work that way.
That's
things
right.
keep adding up. I know that something that I've found really helpful in talking to our clients when they're consumed with sort of confusion, fear, a divorce is not just scary, but also hard paperwork in terms of, we've been married 20 years, we both have retirement mm-hmm. plans, how do we split those? Mm-hmm. Oh God, we have to figure that out. We haven't given it any thought in the last mm-hmm. 20 years. So something that I have found helps is saying, look, there's a process. Once again, being able to tell them a little bit of what they can expect. In terms of your experience, Kristen, when you have someone who is either in the denial, and I've talked to our clients, I know that we have people who come in who say, well, I'm not sure that I'm going to get divorced. And you say, well, your husband's been cheating on you for 10 years. So you probably ought to think about that. What do you do or do you to kind of push through some of that denial, some of that grief, to get them to sort of deal more with the here and now?
Well, one of the things I've learned over the years is that trying to force them out of denial backfires really badly. Trying to give them a really hard reality check just tends to break them down. And that actually makes it more difficult for them to buckle down and figure out what they need to do to protect themselves and their children.